2021. So we'll call the regular scheduled borough assembly meeting together. Roll call, Tina.
Warren?
Here.
Carol?
Here.
Brenda? Brenda? Paul?
Yes.
Denise?
Here.
Here. Chris?
Here.
Josie?
Here.
Haley? Samantha? Tom Hollett wasn't able to attend today. We have a quorum.
Okay. Thank you, Tina. Okay. So on the office staff side, Anchorage office. Annie?
Annie's on? Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Mary?
Good afternoon. I'm here.
Okay. Ernie?
Good afternoon.
Okay. Glenora?
I'm here.
Okay. And Charlotte?
Hello, I'm here.
Okay. Did I miss anyone? Oh, yeah. Laura.
Laura's here. Good afternoon.
Okay. So that's everybody, right, on that end. King Cove.
I'm on here.
Okay.
This is Jackie. I'm on here as well.
Thank you. And Sandpoint.
Just me, Tina.
Tina. Okay, and I'm out in the Anchorage office.
Amel's out here via Anchorage, too.
Ah. Okay. Before you have the agenda. Any changes or additions to the agenda? Hearing none. If there's no objections, the agenda will stand as written. Laura, do we have any public comments at this time?
No, Mayor Osterbach, no comments at this time. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, we have four presentations before us at this time, so we're going to go ahead and start out with Eastern Aleutian Tribes, if Paul is on here. And then if you've got the agenda, list Trident, Peter Pan, and Silver Bay. And I think I'll swap out Silver Bay and put Peter Pan last, since they're kind of now the new kid on the block. We'll let them go last. So with that, Paul, are you on here?
I am, Mr. Mayor.
You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, everyone, for letting me speak during your meeting. So, you know, we are now hearing the vaccine come out. We sent it out on the 8th to a lot of the communities in the Aleutian East Borough. 8, Accutan got it a day earlier than I believe they got it on the 7th. We have scheduled 65 and over elders in the big sites, King Cove and Sand Point, as well as 50 years and over, and you're an essential worker. Now, it's all based on availability of the vaccine. So we, just like in the beginning of the pandemic where I was fighting to get testing supplies, now I'm making sure we fight and fight and fight to get the vaccine so we can open this up further. And we're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to fight. From this meeting, I jump on to another one, and it's with state officials. And I'm going to push and push and push to get more for our region, because I know when at first we had vaccine hesitancy about 5-6 weeks ago, we don't have that anymore. Now we're getting those calls from folks in the borough. I want to be on the list. I want to get my vaccination. I want to see the end of this tunnel. I want to get through it. So I will continue to advocate for our region and get the vaccine out there. But I'm proud to say we are vaccinating people. We did healthcare workers, first responders. Last Friday, I took a plane with our medical director and our vaccine coordinator to the region, had some of the most phenomenal weather, and we were able to bring the vaccine and vaccinate our staff, first responders, and some other community members. We will not let any of this go to waste. We've heard too many stories throughout the country of stuff like this sitting on the shelf or sitting in the freezer or not enough arms. Once we continue to get more inventory, we're going to ask, and I'm going to implore everybody to tell everybody, roll up your sleeves, let's get vaccinated. It's a safe vaccine. I'm very excited we can have it out there. So that's for the big sites. Big sites has a tiered criteria right now just based on the availability. On our small sites, Nelson Lagoon, Pulse Pass, Cold Bay, we're going to be opening it up to general public, general population, residents of those areas. And that's because I don't want anything to go to waste. And if the state or IHS has a plan that says you can only use it for healthcare workers and there's additional doses in that vial, by no means are we going to throw that away. We're going to line people up that want it. And so far, we've been super successful. We've had community members from all the communities that want to get this. So we're going to continue to advocate. I'll continue to fight to get more vaccine into our organization so we can get into more arms throughout the Aleutian East region. That's essentially it on that right now. We will, over the weekend, send a notice of the next group in the big sites. So keep an eye for that. We are, of course, closed on Monday, and we'll start back up on Tuesday, Wednesday, of getting people scheduled for the next round. But please keep an eye on our Facebook page, and I appreciate Laura from the borough always sharing it with, on your page. So thank you for that. Testing, we're continuing to do testing. You know, we recently had another positive in Sand Point, resulted from some testing earlier today. And just my warning, we're still in the pandemic. The cases are continuing to spike throughout the country. We have done such a great job in the Aleutian East region to keep the case count, incident count, low. I just urge people to follow all those guidelines they were following in the beginning. Don't relax yet. Please, face mask, social distancing. Don't hug folks out of your social bubble. No handshaking. All of that. Let's keep on the top of that low incident chart for the state of Alaska. I'm so proud of how we've been able to contain it and get people tested, and we will continue to do that testing based on whatever city mandates are out there, whether Accutane, Kinko, Sandpoint, Nelson Lagoon, False Pass. We'll continue to have those supplies as we get people vaccinated. I want to thank everybody on this phone call, the borough, Annie, Mayor Osterbeck, you know, Mary, Laura, all of you for all your work with me and the group efforts that we have to keep our region safe are being felt and they're seen throughout the state. Super proud of the work we're doing. The city folks, you know, with Jordan, Amber, Gary, the mayors, Mayor Jim has been phenomenal, Mayor Mack, Mayor Hoblett, everyone, it's Mayor Bariskin. We can't do this without each other being aligned. And honestly, when I look at how the Aleutian East Borough has been, we've been very aligned. And it's the envy of many conversations that are going on throughout the state. And I love being the talk of the town when I'm so proud to say I work in that region. So thank you all for all that great work. And, Mayor, that's just a simple snapshot that I wanted to provide. I don't want to take up too much of the borough's time during this meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. I do have a couple of questions before I open it up to the Assembly. First one is, if you have tested positive for the COVID-19, does that do anything as far as getting – are you still allowed to get your shot when you're active?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And there's no restrictions on that. There's some guidance from the CDC that says if you've been COVID positive, that there's no urgency in that first 90 days because your immune system has built up the antibodies to fight off the virus. But we're not turning people away if their age group or tiered group has been selected.
Okay.
So,
my second question would be, after you have your second shot, apparently from what I've heard, then like 2 weeks after that second shot, you're kind of whatever immunity thing is there is built up to where it's supposed to be. But even though, is there still a requirement when you're out in public you should still wear a mask?
Definitely. You can still transmit the virus. So until we get that certain percentage number out in the general population across the country, we want to still follow the social distancing guidelines because you don't know who has been vaccinated, and the last thing you want to do is think that you're covered from getting infected, but you can still transmit the virus if it's in your respiratory droplets. You may not suffer repercussions. So please follow those same guidelines until the CDC makes a determination that we can stop the social distancing.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, Mayor. Thank you. Great questions.
Are there any questions from the Assembly? Paul? Paul,
yes, sir.
Hard to hear you.
Yeah. Just one quick question. In Anchorage, they pretty well had THC to open up vaccinations to all age groups. So why is there a discrepancy between what they're doing and what the Aleutian Beach tribe is doing? Thank you.
It's the availability of the actual resource. So up here in Anchorage, they had a higher originating count allocated to them. And what we've seen up here is that there was some vaccine hesitancy. So, again, no one wants it to go to waste. So when they have an extra 500 doses, we only have an extra 50 doses per se, or just say. So we are going to be following that model as soon as I can build that inventory. Again, I'm jumping from this meeting to the next one, which I'm going to tell them that I want to mirror the, you know, I saw the posting from SCF, 18 and over. And that's, again, because they want to make sure they don't let anything go to waste because it hasn't, the vaccine hadn't been rolled out quick enough. So if they open it to everybody, we're not wasting anything. We only have a certain amount allocated to us, and I'm trying to get that increase so we can open it up to every age group, you know, that's allowed under the emergency use authorization for 18 and above. So I'm going to keep fighting so we can do that. And again, I'm jumping meeting to meeting and calling every state official, every IHS. I want our numbers up there so we can say, hey, anyone call in and get an appointment, and I'll keep fighting to get that done.
Okay. Thank you. There was someone else with a question, too, I believe.
Chris.
Go ahead, Chris.
Just a couple quick things. I really appreciate what you're doing, Paul, and the East employees with getting this vaccine out. Maybe you might want to reiterate that the vaccine is free, is what I'm understanding. You can correct me if I'm wrong. And then also, have we seen any side effects, any major side effects with the first strand of vaccine? And then maybe talk a little bit about the second strand. Have they seen very many side effects with that? I know Pfizer has side effects, but this is a different, this is the one that starts with an M. I can't pronounce it.
Maybe, Moderna.
Explain that a little bit more, too, there, Paul, please.
Yeah. So as for the cost, there is no out-of-pocket cost for anyone that gets the vaccine. If you have insurance, there may be an administrative cost that's billed to the insurance company, but a patient will never see a cost out of their own pocket for the vaccine. As for adverse effects or reactions, we have not had any. Other than, you know, soreness of arm, and I'm really happy. When I looked at the statistical numbers, I think the last one I looked at was 111 reactions, adverse reactions out of a million. That's a pretty good number. It keeps the adverse reaction number low, the incident rate low. So we haven't done our round two yet, so I can't speak to whether there's been any in our region for any adverse reactions to the second dose. But I will definitely keep the borough and the cities notified if anything comes up. But none so far. And again, I think when you read all the news or hear all the news, a lot of times they focus on those events. We have not experienced that. We've had all positive results. People have reported soreness of arm, but it usually goes away in a day or so. I've had a few folks say they feel better now. it's been remarkable that we're able to get it out. We want to increase the numbers. I'm glad you brought up that cost. I did have a question sent to me by email, so hopefully that individual is listening to this. No one will have an out-of-pocket cost. Patient will never spend any money getting the vaccine. There may be administrative costs on the insurance end, but that should clear that up. As for adverse reactions, we have not had any, but I will keep the borough and the mayor and the city mayors informed if anything does change on that.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions?
And by the way, sir, I'm sorry, one more.
Okay.
In that part, we're using Moderna. In Nelson Lagoon, False Pass, Sandpoint, King Cove, and Cold Bay, and we're using the Pfizer vaccine in Accutane. And it's all based on the logistics side. They're both very efficient. They both have 95% or better efficacy after getting your second dose and going past that two-week period. It just turned out logistically it was easier because the difficulty of the cold storage and ultra-cold storage to send them where we're sending them.
Okay. Thank you for that. Other assembly comments? Questions?
Yeah, Warren here.
Go ahead, Warren.
Paul, thanks for your hard work there and getting them out here. I have more of a comment than a question. I know it will be more of a question. With the I think there's a misconception of some of our people and elders here in the communities about the safety of the vaccine. And I think the word COVID is in their questions a lot. They asked me a few questions about it, and there's a difference between the COVID and the infection that gets in your lungs and what the vaccine does. You know, it just stops the infection from multiplying in your lungs, so then it is able to make you really sick and have to go on ventilator and stuff like that. I know they're really scared about getting this shot, thinking that it all has to do with COVID, but I know the COVID is causing the lungs to get infected. So, I know you already talked about the safety part of it, and I know there's some people that are really worried yet about getting the shot due to the fact, they're seeing stuff on the news and online and stuff. I wish we could add a little more on how the dynamics work with the shot, so it'll put people's mind at ease before they go and get it. But I know there's more people getting it now because it's available and the word is out that it's not going to take you down. So maybe you could comment on that.
Yeah, that's a great comment, and you're right. We had a lot of conversations with folks in the communities, and they were. A lot of responses were, I want to wait to see what happens to other people. And now we're a week after on the 8th, we administered it to a lot of folks, and we did it again on the 15th. We're doing it tomorrow, I'm sorry. People are seeing that it's not making anyone sick other than soreness of arm. It's not giving you the COVID virus. This isn't a vaccine that has a live COVID virus in it. It's new technology, so there was some vaccine hesitancy, but as we start to see people that have received it at SCF, ANTHC, have no adverse effects, we're seeing the numbers go up and the phone calls come in to get scheduled. It is very good technology, and it doesn't stop you from being able to spread the virus, but it stops those clinical symptoms that you could get. That's that efficacy of 95% or above. So it's really there to, like you said, prevent that lung issues or other issues that could hit you if you got COVID. You're not going to get that with the vaccine. So if that didn't answer it, I can put anyone that has those questions in touch with my medical director, and please send me an email, call me, and I can schedule a meeting. I trust the vaccine, both of them, and although it doesn't prevent the spread right now, it does prevent those symptoms up to 95% or greater. So please, when we get it more readily available, get those age groups broadened, call in, get scheduled.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'll do the same to urge all the people up in
thank
the
you.
Area.
Really appreciate that, sir. Thank you, Warren.
Okay, and we had another question.
Yes,
yeah, Mayor.
This is Josephine in Mattapan.
Oh, Josie, and then I think it was Daly afterwards. Go ahead, Josie.
Thank you. A two-part question regarding the vaccine. I know you said we've got Pfizer here in Accutan. They are set for two doses, 2 weeks apart, is it?
No, 21 days on the Pfizer.
Okay, 3 weeks for 21 days. Are you required to have your second dose at the same location, say if somebody was on travel status in Anchorage and they're able to go get their second dose, or do they have the first one?
The only guarantee of that second dose is in that location because that's where it's going to be allocated. So when we give that first dose, we have the numbers set up so it'll be dispersed automatically to Accutan. So we vaccinate 40 people on today. We would have enough to do the 40 individuals that for their second dose in Accutan. We don't. It's not carried sparingly around the state just in case you show up somewhere else. So we do that conversation with the patient that you need to be at your originating site for your second dose.
Okay. And what happens if you miss that second dose? Do you have to start over? Is it okay to get it later than 21 days, or how does that work?
You know, I've been told there's a leeway period of 4 days. But I heard from one of our medical leaders that it's like a conveyor belt you didn't put back on the list to get back in. And we would, I'd have to seek medical guidance. Everybody's told me that we would just start over with dose one and then dose two. But I'll confirm that with our medical director and state epidemiology as well. Again, that's why we have those conversations with the patient to make sure you're where you're going to be in either 3 weeks for the Pfizer or 28 days for the Moderna.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I had.
All right, Josephine. Great questions.
Daly?
Okay. He answered one of my questions. I had the same question. But also, once you're vaccinated, how long does that last? How long before you, how long does the vaccinations last?
We don't know that yet. And, we've only been in the pandemic for less than a year. So right now there's some literature out there that says Moderna put out something recently that it could be up to a couple years. But there's no hardened science on it yet. So I can't answer that yet. But as Pfizer, CDC, Moderna come out with those numbers, I will provide them to you daily. I will.
Okay. So, they're not like good for up to a year. They don't know that yet.
We don't know exactly yet. There's been recent articles.
Okay.
I've seen up to 2 years, or maybe this becomes like an annual flu shot. We're not exactly sure on its durational length or livability in your system, but we will. I will definitely keep the communities and yourself informed when it comes up. That's a great question, and it's talked about at every meeting I'm at. It's how long does it last? So when the officials and the science gives me the word, you all will be the first to know, but I'd be the first to know at that point, and I'll call you all or post it on Facebook, that literature.
Okay, thank you, and thank you for all the work you guys done.
You're welcome, Daly. Thank you for everything you've been doing down there. Thank you.
Assembly, any other questions? Okay. Thank you. And thank you, Paul, for coming and doing this for us. I'm sure the folks in the region appreciate the information that they've just gathered from this. So, again, thank you for your time.
You're welcome, Mayor. And I'll continue. I'm going to jump on to another call and continue to try to get more vaccines so we can open this age groups up to, like, SCF, 18 and above.
Okay. Appreciate it.
You're welcome,
so,
Mayor. Thank you, Assembly.
Okay, so we're going to go into the three, Trident, Silver Bay, and Peter Pan, and we're going to start with Trident, and after each one gives their presentation, I'll open it up for questions individually from from each company as we go down the list. So with that,
Mayor Ostrak.
Hello.
Hello, this is Brenda. I just wanted to let you know I've been here, but I didn't want to interrupt.
Okay, thank you. So Trident, I will turn this over to you. You can do your introduction, and we'll just take it from there.
Great. Can you hear me okay, Mayor Ostrak?
Yes.
Great. So this is Shannon Carroll. I cover Alaska Government and Community Affairs for Trident, based up here in Alaska. I think I know many of you. I also have on the line David Bossian, who most of you know, who oversees our shoreside ops in the region. And then I also wanted to take the opportunity here during our introductions to introduce Jeff Wellborn, who's been with our company for a long time, but he's our new VP of Alaska Whitefish Operations. And so he's going to be actually coming up to quarantine here next week and then be out in the region in his new role. So just wanted to give Jeff a few moments to kind of introduce himself, and then I'm going to come back and talk a little bit about COVID-related issues, and Dave and Jeff are going to talk about operations. So, Jeff, do you want to say a few words?
Yeah, hi, everybody. Hello, Mr. Mayor. Looking forward to meeting you all in easier times. But, yeah, I head up our Kodiak and Western Alaska shore operations as well as our fleet. I had the privilege to work out in the peninsula in Chignik and spent many years in Bristol Bay as well before spending a decade in our international operations and supply chain. So I chased all of our fish to ground in Asia, Europe, and Latin America as well. So, yeah, I'm looking really forward to getting up north, getting through quarantine, and getting out to Akutin and Sandpoint later this month and next month. We're excited to get a bunch of new channels online in the market and to focus on our service efficiency and quality this year. In order to bring value to all of our partners. So really looking forward to working with all of you, and nice to meet you, at least digitally.
Thanks, Jeff. And yeah, thanks. I think we all can echo that we're looking forward to a time when we can be meeting in person again. But so I just wanted to cover a little bit on COVID. I know that, you know, people are still thinking about that, and we have A season starting up here. And so before I get into just what our operations are going to look like, I did want to extend a thank you to the borough and its staff for helping, you know, for all the help that they provided in 2020. It was really, you know, in part because of that we had such a successful season in the area. And then I also want to thank the mayors in Accutane, False Pass, and Sandpoint, where we have plants, and definitely Paul Mueller at Heath, who were likewise incredibly helpful. You know, as you know, we had really robust and stringent protocols in place with the goal of keeping our communities and our employees, fishermen, safe and to keep fish moving across the dock. But we couldn't have done it without the really fluid partnership that we had. And so a sincere thank you for all the work that you guys put in. So for 2021, we definitely want to continue that partnership. Our protocols are going to really look much the same. The cornerstone of how we kept people safe this year was having a 14-day quarantine and a test in Anchorage, and then having safe transit out to the region. And so we're going to continue doing that. We have a whole bunch of employees who've been quarantining since before Christmas and are making their way out to all of our facilities that are operating for A season. So that's going to maintain, and we're going to maintain our commitment to keeping everyone safe. So if there's any concerns along the way or questions about what we're doing or what specific protocols we have in place, certainly reach out to myself or Dave or Jeff through the borough or whatever. But we're really hopeful that we can continue the success that we had last year. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dave and Jeff to talk about operations.
Mr. Mayor and Assembly, this is David Bossian. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah, fine, Dave.
Very good. Good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to give you guys a brief background of what we are doing, what we look forward to doing this year. Currently, of course, we're busy in Akutin processing federal fixed gear fishery on the north side. As you guys know, we're not operating Sandpoint this winter again due to low quotas, but we fully intend to support most of the fishery on the south side through our Sandpoint plant and tenders. offloading and delivering the fish to Accutan. We are expecting a busy pollock season and crab due to the increased crab quotas this year. Trawl cod on the Bering Sea side appears to be one of the shortest seasons coming up in February. And with the Area O fixed gear fishery, that should finish us for the A season and getting us ready for summertime. We intend to operate all our platforms this summer in hopes of good salmon runs. And then supporting the Gulf pollock fishery like we did last year. So we're looking forward to it. And we hope we're going to be able to maintain everybody safe and a successful season. Jeff, if you want to add anything to it, I'll leave it. Give you the floor. Thank you.
No, I think you said it, Dave. Yeah, we're really looking forward to just maintaining the protocols that we put in place last year and doubling down on them. We've refined them. You know, nobody expected this to be as long a challenge as it's been with COVID, but as a result, we've further professionalized all the protocols we put in place in getting people out and safely into the bubbles of these communities and making sure that we're not bringing anything in. We've been successful in that effort thus far, knock on wood, and we look to continue that success so that we can best serve everybody in the area, make sure that we're up and operational for everybody's concerns. So, you know, we appreciate everybody's support and understanding and working with everybody to maintain that safety. Again, we're in this for the long haul, so looking forward to those vaccines taking hold and doing their job so that we can all get back to an easier operation. But in the meantime, we've further invested in those protocols, and we're open to any comment and ideas that can make them better. Thank you.
And then, Mayor Osterberg, I just want to close just with a somewhat related note. But so we have a kelp farm application that we put in for in Left Hand Bay, which is just north of Sandpoint. And I've been communicating with Charlotte about this, but it should be coming up for public comment in the next month or so. It's hard to know how DNR, what the timeline is from DNR, but they expect it to be up for public comment in the next month or so. And just briefly, the gear for that farm would be in the water from October to the 1st of June or so. So our goal is to not impact any existing uses in the area, whether subsistence or existing commercial fishing activity. But we also want to make sure that we extend our openness to communicate on that. So if there's concerns when that public comment period come out, please, we'll be reaching out, but please feel free to reach out to us as we want to make sure that that goes through smoothly and that there aren't any sort of community issues with that. So thank you, and I guess I'll turn it over for questions.
Okay, thank you. So, and John and Dave and Jeff, thanks for coming on and participating with this. And as far as the mariculture program goes, I'm sure Charlotte will work closely with all of you as we have been in this past year. I think it's kind of an exciting program. I'm waiting for it to start producing. But we will keep watching for that, and if there's any problems or anything, maybe communicate with Charlotte, since she's our kelp queen in this endeavor. So with that, again, appreciate you coming on. I'm going to go ahead and open it up for questions for if the assembly has any for you.
Mr. Mayor?
Paul?
Yes, hi. Question probably for Dave about the Plant Accutan. A couple years ago, there was talk of basically building a new plant, rebuilding the plant completely. Could you update us on the status of those plans, Dave?
Mr. Mayor, I was having a difficult time hearing Paul's question. Could someone please repeat?
Sure, Dave. Paul was asking about a couple of years ago, there was talk about either totally remodeling the Actan plant or building a new one, and he was inquiring on the status of that, if any.
Yeah, we did a significant research, preliminary research, so we have an idea what we want to do. At this point, there is not a set start date to do that, but it is something that Jeff has asked us to actively look at it and decide at one point whether not if but when we're going to start it. It's nothing on the grounds right now. But we have significant preliminary planning invested into it.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. That answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Other questions? Okay. So, again, really appreciate you coming on, taking the time. Again, as we do this every so often, and we appreciate everybody coming on and sharing their thoughts with us. So thank you very much.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
So we'll, Silver Bay, are you online?
Yes, I'm here, Mayor. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you. You can do your own introduction, and we'll go from there.
Great. Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Osterbeck, Assembly members, Borough staff, community members, and fishermen. My name is Abby Frederick. I serve as the Director of Communications for Silver Bay, and I just want to thank the Borough for your support of the seafood industry and the generous time on your agenda for an update from your newest processor in the region. Similar to Shannon, I want to cover the great success that we had in 2020 with COVID. We safely and successfully operated our Falls Pass plant during a global pandemic, and we had zero cases last year. We're extremely proud of this accomplishment, and we hope that it demonstrates our commitment to prioritizing safety in the community and for our essential workforce. We also could not have done it without so many other people, so thank you to every single person who made it possible. We especially want to recognize Eastern Aleutian tribes for working with Silver Bay to help facilitate testing and providing general medical support. In 21, we are focusing our energy on facilitating vaccines for our workers as they become available and continuing our mitigation efforts similar to 2020. With guidance from the state of Alaska and the borough, we too want to continue that open communications with all of you about our plans, so feel free to reach out anytime if there are any questions or ideas to make that smoother. With our first year behind us, we've already made so many advancements at the Falls Pass facility. Our team has brought in a lot of new equipment and processes for increasing the value of the fish and ultimately the ex-vessel price for our harvesters. The land-based projects are complete, and the campus is so beautiful. I sent a picture to Laura, and I'm hopeful she's able to share that with the Assembly members so you guys can get a peek at the progress so far. And hopefully once COVID's behind us, you guys can come out to the plant and see it in action. It's something else. Our King Cove store is up and open year-round. The store has provided some economic opportunity for the community of King Cove, and it offers essential access to parts and supplies to all fishermen, regardless of who their market is with, as well as the general public. So in 2021, the store is expanding inventory and is also set up to help facilitate orders for parts and supplies. And as processors supporting our fleet, we're in this together. So Silver Bay wants to open an invitation to help meet parts and supply needs to anyone who may need it. Rami Chung is the store manager. She's been in the industry for a really long time and has a ton of experience, so her and her team are standing by to help. In 2020, we started leasing property from the city of Sandpoint, and that's where we stood up a net storage facility for our fishermen. And for those not familiar, this waterfront site is adjacent to Sandpoint's new floating dock, which offers another great access point for fishermen. And many kudos to the city of Sandpoint for making that happen. We also want to, again, thank the Assembly, Borough staff,
and the City of False Pass for collaborating with us on the temporary dock project. Kevin Berry is our lead on the project, and he'll be working with your team to ensure any modifications meet the needs of the public and our fishermen and operations. Fish and Game's preliminary forecast for South Alaska Penn salmon looks quote-unquote excellent. And additionally, we've seen some improvements in the salmon market trends, and we're cautiously optimistic about market going into 2021, of course, in absence any unforeseen influence due to the weird times we're in right now. The False Pass plant will open in June with increased staffing levels to prepare for this forecasted harvest. Fleet and tender levels will be similar to 2020. The False Pass plant, it's not only critical to our long-term plans for operations in your region, but it is an essential part of our strategic network of high-capacity plants. This facility processes millions of pounds of fish from Naknek and Kodiak facilities to ensure we can maximize opportunity for fishermen during periods of peak production in those areas. This not only offers critical support to our other operations, but it bolsters our False Pass facility production, and it offsets the cost to run in this uniquely remote location. We are so looking forward to a safe and productive 2021 season. Appreciate your partnership, and I think that about wraps up what I've got as far as an update from Silver Bay, so I'll stand by for questions.
Abby, thank you for coming on and bringing us up to date on everything, and as we've done in this past year, I think we'll, you know, we're open to keep working with you. We know we've got some issues in False Pass as far as being able to travel in and out of the community, and we're going to keep working on that. Anyway, again, appreciate you coming on, and I'm going to go ahead and open it up to the assembly for questions. Any questions?
Mr. Mayor,
might
you have one?
Paul?
Yes, thank you. Abby, there's been some questions about what your plans are for bottom fish this spring, including South Peninsula State Water and the Dutch Harbor State Water Fishery, or even in the fall. What are your bottom fish plans for your fleet?
Hi, Paul. Thanks for your question. I think I caught most of that. So our False Pass facility is not up and running right now. With the risk of COVID and the increased cases we were seeing in the state, we found it to be the most responsible decision to not open that one right now. And as far as the fall, the company hasn't made any decisions for our whitefish operations quite yet.
Okay. Paul, that answer your question? I guess. Does any other assembly member have a question for Abby?
Well, my mute was off, Alvin, but I just wondered if they're tendering fish, bottom fish this year. What are their plans as far as tendering fish in Dutch Harbor or any place?
Nope.
Did you catch that, Abby?
I did, Paul, and I can't say for 100% certainty, but I don't believe we're tendering fish right now. And I'd be happy to circle back with you, but I don't believe we are.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Other questions? And for Laura, I don't know if you have any questions that came in by email. I totally forget about this all the time.
Mayor Osterbeck, none have come through at this time. I'll continue to monitor. Thank you.
Okay, if you get one, you could just interrupt me or something.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Abby, it sounds like there's not a lot of questions for you out there right now, so you know, keep lines of communication open with the borough, and if there's things that we could do to help or updates for us, we'll be happy to listen. So with that, appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mayor. Really appreciate it. I've especially enjoyed working with Charlotte. She's an awesome communicator, has that can-do attitude, and just been an amazing partner to work with on the EM project, and just another a great connection with your office. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you. So before us, we have, is it the new and improved Peter Pan? So whoever's here from Peter Pan, I'll let you go ahead and introduce yourself and take it from there.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
All right. Well, I'm Rob Gillum. I'm the chairman and CEO of McKinley Capital up in Anchorage, and I represent the new owners of the new Peter Pan Seafood Company. Really excited to be here. Thanks for inviting us. Really excited to be part of the new Peter Pan and really excited to get involved in seafood and fisheries in particular. If you don't know us, I don't blame you. Although I have to say I do appreciate the reference as the new kid on the block. I'm going to emphasize kid and hope I can get away with it today, so thank you for that. But if you're not familiar with McKinley, you may be familiar with some of my family's activities in Bristol Bay. The Gillum family was pretty active in trying to protect the Bristol Bay fishery and clean water and all the good stuff that goes along with commercial fishing and the industry there and against the pebble mines. I'm really excited to have the opportunity to get involved in the business and to be part of the greater Peter Pan family. I am here with Mr. Barry Collier, who, of course, as many of you know, is our CEO, so excited to cede the floor to him. But I will say this one last quick thing. You know, our number one goal is to listen and to be good partners and good friends in the neighborhood. So if there are any questions that you think of after the fact, you can certainly funnel them through Barry, and we're happy to respond back. But thanks for having us, and Barry, all you.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Rob. I know you've got a tight schedule, so jump off whenever you need to. So we've got a new company. It's called Peter Pan Seafoods Company, LLC. It's an Alaskan LLC. It's owned by Roger May with Northwest Fish. It's owned by RGG, Renewable Resources Group, and it's owned by McKinley Capital, who you just met, Mr. Gillum. I'm extremely excited about this. As many of you know, I've been a long-stead employee of the old Peter Pan Seafoods under Maruja Nichiro ownership. And I want to convey to you folks that the support that we have gotten from the owners, the energy we've gotten from the owners, the focus we've gotten from the owners, the dedication that they have to the Alaska resource. And the fishermen and our customers is matched by no one. It's a classic example of that. I don't know if many of you know Roger May, but he's an extremely dynamic and successful business person. And they've entitled him to be the chief growth officer. So our owners are looking at this as a platform for future growth. Northwest Fish, which is Roger's entity, will be integrated into Peter Pan Seafood. So we will be a vertically integrated company that processes the raw material, has the relationship with the fishermen, has the commitments to the communities and the fishermen, and then through Northwest Fish, we'll be adding value to that product, both in Alaska and potentially outside of Alaska, to create more value in the product, thus hopefully better fish price to the fishermen. I guess I should have commented at first by saying that we were successful. We, the old Peter Pan, was successful in our COVID protocols for last summer. We're staying with those same protocols for the winter operation and for the upcoming summer operation. We will quarantine our employees 2 weeks, most of them in Anchorage, before they go on site. And one of our highest priorities is the health of the communities that we operate and the citizens within those communities. I'd like to thank Mr. Gillum. He probably has had to drop, but his energy in this whole process has been matched by no one, and the rest of the owners are extremely excited about the future of Peter Pan and using this as a growth for the future. We're going to build fleet. We're going to process as much fish as we can in the best product form that we can and the best quality that we can produce. I think many of you know that Peter Pan Seafood is known. I'll even say this against my competitors who are on this call. I don't think Peter Pan Seafood's quality is matched by anyone in the Alaskan salmon industry. And a lot of that quality comes from how our fishermen take care of the fish before it's delivered to us, and then we attempt to put it into a product form that the consumers are pleased with. So, Mr. Mayor, I don't have a lot more to say. I'd be happy to answer any questions, and I know Mr. Gillum had to leave, and if you have any questions for him, I'd... Okay.
No, I'm still here. Yeah, I just thought I'd take a few more minutes and listen.
Okay. What are you giving me, a grade card or something?
I'm just listening. Nice to have everybody with
me. No. If you have any questions, you can send them to my attention or Mike Simpson or John Hickman at Peter Pan Seafoods Company, and we'll get you those answers from the owners. Any questions?
Okay. Thank you, Barry and Rod. Appreciate you being on here. I know in the area there's quite a few Peter Pan fishermen out there, and I know that there's from listening to them at home since this all took place here at the first of the year, I'm sure there's a lot of questions out there of changes in who's managing what, that type of thing. So I'm sure you'll hear a few of them. And before I turn this over to the assembly, you know, again, I appreciate all three companies coming on and bringing everybody up to date. And I'm sure as time goes on for Peter Pan, the fishermen that already are Peter Pan fishermen probably do have some questions to ask. With that, assembly, you have questions for Peter Pan?
I have a question. This is Chris.
Go ahead, Chris.
I guess the question I have is the tank farm and the stock room and the store that are located on the plant in King Cove, that was all under subsidiary Seven Seas. Did you guys, how's that all going to merge into the new operations?
No, it was just for some clarity there. It was never under the subsidiary Seven Seas. It was always under Peter Pan Seafoods and will continue to be under the new Peter Pan Seafoods company.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Others?
I guess one thing I should address just head on, and it might come up. The new owners of Peter Pan Seafoods did not purchase two assets of the old Peter Pan Seafoods. One of those was False Pass, and one of those was Coffee Point in Bristol Bay. So those are no longer part of the new Peter Pan Seafoods, and they're part of the Maruja Nichiro Group, Westward Seafoods, that group now.
Barry, thank you for that. I know there were questions on the status of that property, so that's good that you clarified that.
New Peter Pan has an option to buy back if they're interested in the future, but right now they're owned by Maruja Nichiro.
Okay. Assembly, any other questions?
Yeah, Warren here.
Mr. Mayor.
Warren.
Okay, Paul, you got to wait a minute. Say, Barry, there. I've yet to meet you, and I've lived in King Cove all my life. I don't have anything else to say there. But anyway, I managed the airport here in King Cove, and then I know that you guys fly fish out of Cove Bay, and our runway here in King Cove is due for an upgrade in the next few years. It's been 15 years since they did an upgrade on the airport. And I'm wondering if you guys would be willing to join in with, like, if the borough, the city, and your company there to come come up with some plans for flying fish out of King Cove so our King Cove Air Support could be upgraded to accommodate some bigger aircraft in and out of King Cove to fly fish over to, I mean, take fish over to Cold Bay. Would you guys entertain anything like that to come up with a plan for King Cove to maybe lengthen the runway, pave it, so we'll be able to fly bigger aircraft in and out of here to accompany your biggest processing plant in the world here in King Cove?
Yeah, we're one of the highest priorities for NewCo, New Peter Pan Seafoods, is to increase our fresh shipments out of Alaska. And having to tender that fish from King Cove to Cold Bay and then transport it onto an airplane and then into Anchorage is quite a complicated process. And, you know, we're willing to talk about whatever will make it easier for us to fly fish out of King Cove. That would be good for us, good for the city of King Cove, and good for the fishermen.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. Now that I know that you guys will be able to be on board with something like that, I know I have, you know, with our runway being soft and stuff, and it's not quite long enough to accommodate a few bigger aircraft. But anyway, thank you very much.
Yeah, and I haven't had the pleasure of being in King Cove for the last year or 15 months because of COVID, but next time I'm there, I'll try to interact with as many people as I can, and you'll find that the new Peter Pan will be much more engaging with communities, with the press, and with the fishing industry.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'll be looking for you when you come around.
Yes, sir.
Paul, I believe you had a question.
Yeah, just a quick one. Is there any change in the status of the Aleutia agreement with Peter Pan on crab?
Good question. The Aleutia agreement is a custom processing agreement. The crab quota stayed with Maruha Nichiro, but we have a long-term lease agreement for that crab to be processed in King Cove, and it's our intention to continue that custom processing activity and then also look at potentially purchasing that PQ in a few years. So in theory, nothing changes, but it's just a little one more complicated twist that it's owned by a different entity and leased by New Peter Pan.
Thank you.
Other questions from the assembly? Hearing none. Okay. This has been really interesting with all the companies and with the new Peter Pan. So keep in touch. We're always open for all of you since we need fishermen, we need processors, and that's how we all survive. So I think if we stay open with one another and keep communicating, I think we could do a lot of good together, all of us. So with that, there's no other questions from anyone. Appreciate your time, Rod and Barry, and hope to see you whenever this COVID thing stops.
Thank you. Yeah, everybody stay safe. Everybody stay safe out there.
Okay. With that, that's the last of our presentations. Before we get on into the rest of the meeting, do any of the assembly members feel like they have a conflict of interest with any of our agenda items? Okay. So before us, we have minutes of the December 10th meeting. We need a motion and a second.
This is Brenda. I make a motion. Minutes as presented.
Okay, so we have a motion by Brenda, seconded by Chris. Does anyone have any corrections or changes? Hearing none, if there's no objections, the minutes will stand as written. Move on to the financial report. Annie? I need a motion and a second to bring the financial report to the floor.
make a motion to bring the financial report to the floor.
Thank you, Josie. I need a second.
I'll second it, Chris.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Okay, Annie.
All right, Marister, back in assembly. Before you is the November 2020 financials. Everything is tracking along as normal. One thing I pointed out at the work session, I'll point out again, is that many of the salary line items are significantly lower than the average 37%, and that's largely due to the CARES Act funds that we were able to charge our time to for those folks, those employees that spent a substantial portion or a partial portion of their time on CARES Act funding and COVID-related items. Other than that, for the shared fish tax, I just want to point out that in November, we have received 67% on average of what we have in the past for this fiscal year. And just for the month of November alone, we did receive about 81% of the five-year average. So other than that, I have no other comments unless there's any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the assembly? Hearing none. Question on the motion, Tina.
Josie?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Harold?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
I'm not sure if Samantha ever logged in. Samantha?
Yes. And I'm sorry.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So in your packet is the November investment report. It's there for you to cruise through, and if there's any questions, that would be a good time to ask Annie or Roxanne.
Mayor Specs, this is Annie. If I may, I'll just tell you that I did check the value or the amount for our permanent fund account, and as of yesterday, we were at $44,573,000 and some change. So it's higher than what's reported in the November information
okay.
in your packet.
Thank you. Good news. Okay, if there's no comments on the investment report, we don't have anything under the consent agenda, but we do have a somebody needs to mute their phone. Under ordinances, we have an emergency ordinance 2108 issuing a declaration of disaster emergency in response to COVID-19. We need a motion and a second.
This is Brenda. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda.
Second, this is Warren. Carol. I'll second it.
Thank you, Carol. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Speck and Assembly. As Mayor Speck just mentioned, Ordinance 2108 is before you. This is a continuation of the emergency or declaration of disaster emergency in response to COVID-19. This extends it from 60 days or for 60 days and would remain in effect until March 14th, 2021. And I apologize these keep coming for you, but because of the 60 days, I just can't make the meeting deadlines. So this one would remain in effect till March 14th, 2021.
Okay. And for the assembly, remember, this doesn't take two readings since this is an emergency ordinance. It'll, upon approval, it'll be in place. Any questions? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Carol?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Yes.
Yossi.
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So before you, we have two resolutions. First one, Resolution 21-28, authorizing the mayor to amend the term of the helicopter service agreement with Maritime Helicopters, Inc. to March 31st, 2021. We need a motion and a second.
I'll make that motion. Thank you. It's Brenda.
Thank you, Brenda.
This is Denise. I'll second.
Okay, thank you, Denise. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck, Resolution 21-28 is before you for your consideration. As you know, the borough entered into a helicopter services agreement with Maritime Helicopter, Inc. From November 22, 2013 through January 31, 2019 to provide reasonable public access between the community of Acatan and the Accoon Airport. During that time frame, the borough subsidized the helicopter operation at approximately $1.5 million per year. In 2019, the United States of America Department of Transportation, USDOT, agreed to cover 50% of the helicopter expenditures between Acatan and Accoon through the Essential Air Service program. Per Resolution 1930, the borough agreed to pay the remaining 50% of the EAS costs, reducing the borough's subsidy significantly. The term of this agreement was from February 1, 2019 to December 31st, 2020. In August 2020, USDOT issued a new request for proposals for Essential Air Service at Acatan. Grant Aviation and Maritime submitted proposals. USDOT does anticipate to enter into a new EAS agreement with Grant and Maritime within the next 3 months and has currently just extended the existing EAS contract through March 31, 2020. And the USDOT order is in the packet for your review. Therefore, Borough Administration recommends extending our existing helicopter agreement with Maritime to March 31, 2021. And once the new EAS is finalized, a separate resolution requesting to enter into a new helicopter agreement will be brought before the Assembly for consideration. Are there any questions?
Hi, Annie. I have a question. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, do you know if they applied for more than 50% or is that set? Do you know if it's going to be, say, 75% or 100% or how is that working?
No, I anticipate USDOT will continue with the 50% agreement. I don't see that. I don't foresee that changing anytime in the near future. So the 50%, I think, is what they will offer.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Other questions for Annie?
Yeah, Warren here.
Go ahead, Warren.
See, Annie, with the EIS and the agreements we have with the government there on this Essential Air Service or transportation into Acatan, with the... like a boat or a ferry to go across there. Will the EIS cover part of that? And then my other question is, what is the ultimate goal? Are we going to be able to get away from the transportation part of Acatan Village, or is that kind of like going to stay with us over?
Yeah, so there's two questions. So for your first question, the Essential Air Service is just for air transportation, so this will not carry over if and when we end up going to a traditional vessel to transport passengers between the two islands. So that'll be separate. We are working with the Army Corps of Engineers and the Acatan Tribe through a tribal partnership program agreement to begin the feasibility study to have a dock and breakwater over on Accoon.
That process alone will probably take 3 years, and then construction will have to follow after that. So we've still got a ways to go. USDOT is fully aware of the situation, and at this point they're still willing to cover the 50%, which is fantastic and will save the borough a lot of money over the next few years. As far as the commitment to the transportation route, the borough is committed through a co-sponsorship agreement to provide the transportation link for 20 years. I would have to pull that up. I don't remember exactly when that became effective, but we're not even halfway through the 20 years at this point. So we are committed to providing that link right now.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions? Okay. Question on the motion? Tina.
Sorry, you were muted. Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, motion carried.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have Resolution 21-29, the Assembly selecting and promoting FY 2022 capital projects for the health, safety, and welfare of its residents. We need a motion and a second to bring it to the floor.
This is Brenda. I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Brenda.
Chris, I'll second.
Thank you, Chris. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbach. So before you is Resolution 21-29. The borough annually presents a resolution of this type to you to show what we're going to promote and select for FY 2022 or for our fiscal year capital projects. Below on this list, borough staff considered the discussions regarding the borough strategic initiatives that occurred from the December 2020 planning work session. We also had conversations with Mayor Osterbach as well as our lobbyist Mark Hickey in regards to the projects that are listed below. What administration is recommending is that we do requests that require funding support and also requests that just require state support or assistance. So with that, the project that we would like to request funding support for this year is the Cold Bay Dock Feasibility Study. We have $150,000 set aside for this project right now, and this would be a request through the CAPSIS program to the legislature for an additional $150,000. Also, just for the state support, of course, is the King Cove Access Project, the Coon Dock and Breakwater Project, and this year we did add the False Pass Airport to that list, and that will just be stuff that we will be continuously asking the state to support and continue to support in some instances throughout the next fiscal year.
Okay. Questions for Annie?
One housing on the False Pass Airport. There was talk of a master plan update from the state, which may not require any money. Maybe any info on that? Thank you.
Annie?
Yes, Mayor Spack and Assembly. So, yes, we will be one of the items on here on the very last paragraph of the agenda statement. It mentions an updated master plan. So that is something that we will talk to DOT about and see if they can assist us with doing that. So it is, I believe, a state-run airport. So a lot of this work would have to fall on DOT, but we will be there every step of the way to assist them and get the work done and give them what they need and help where needed. So
Okay. Thank you. And, you know, as we move forward to this, of course, we'll be working with the City of Falls Pass and any of the other entities there that have an interest in this. So, but, you know, with the increase in population and processors there, I think this is a fairly important issue, not only to the community, but to the fishermen and the processors. Because anytime you have moving machinery, people get hurt. So we'll be working on this one. Other comments? Okay, if not, question on the motion?
Warren?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, appreciate that. Old business, we don't have any. New business, we do not have any. So we are down to reports and updates. Annie, you want to lead this one?
Yes, Mayor Ashback and Assembly. So in the packet is my report. The first thing I'd like to touch on is just the CARES Act funding update. The borough has received the full $3.7 million in CARES Act funds from the state of Alaska. We got the second and third payment in December of 2020. The borough has expended about $2.3 million in CARES Act funds, which leaves a balance of $1.3 million to be spent. $590,000 of those are appropriated to complete existing appropriations, and $766,000 are available for reappropriation. I did include a summary of all the allocations in the packet. The highlighted yellow portion are the funds available for reappropriation, and the blue highlighted areas are allocated to existing appropriations. So, and it also shows what we have spent as of December 31st, 2020. Originally, these funds had to be expended by December 30th of 2020. However, on December 28th, the state informed the borough and all municipalities that the COVID relief bill had been signed by the president, thus extending the CARES Act funding expenditures date to December 31st, 2021. Therefore, we have more time to expend the remaining funds, a full year to expend those. Excuse me. At this point, I do not have a recommendation on how to spend those remaining funds, but I will have something before you at the February 2021 assembly meeting. Are there any questions before I move on?
Hi, Annie. Chris here.
Yes.
I really appreciate the meat boxes and the gift cards that we were able to give out to the communities. I know that everybody in the communities appreciated those. I've been kind of keeping up with what's going on in Congress, and do you anticipate any more funding coming to the borough in this CARES Act?
I don't have a great answer for you on that. I would need to probably ask our federal lobbyists for any advice, but I have heard there's definitely a possibility that the state might get some, who in turn would then, transfer some of those funds to municipalities. But I will get a better answer for you on that from our lobbyists.
Okay, thanks, Annie.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions before I continue? Okay, so I just also included just a summary of some of our programs. The Emergency Assistance and Economic Stimulus Program, although I didn't spend the full the borough didn't spend the full $2.1 million, was still extremely successful. That program ended on December 4th, 2020. The borough expended for about $460,000 on this program. We received 670 applications. Out of those, 599 applications were paid in full. So that's $750 to those individuals. 31 applicants or applications were partially paid due to either lack of proper documentation or only receiving a partial payment request. 34 applications were denied due to the applications not meeting the program guidelines, and 6 applications were duplicates. So we received 6 that we had already received before. And then out of those that were paid or partially paid, 21 were from Accutane, 21 from Cold Bay, 242 from King Cove, 17 from False Pass, 23 from Nelson Lagoon, and 306 from Sandpoint. So I overall think it was a successful program. If we were to do it again, I would make some adjustments, but I think overall we were able to help a lot of people through the prior year. The other one was the Nonprofit and Civic Organization Relief Program. $100,000 were distributed to 10 nonprofit civic organizations within the region, so $10,000 to each, and a list of those entities that received the funds is in the packet. So that was also successful. The other is the food distribution program. As of today, the City of Cold Bay should be receiving their gift cards / gift certificates, so that program is closed out. It was successful, challenging logistically, but successful. So meat boxes were delivered to every single to the households in the communities, and then each one should have also received a $1,500 gift card to either the local store if there was one. If there wasn't, they got a gift card to a grocery retailer. And or in Cold Bay, for instance, they got $500 to the local store and they got $1,000 in gift cards. So we just adjusted to the needs of the community. But overall, I really hope it was great. I heard the meat was beautiful that arrived, and I hope everybody was happy about that. And also, I really want to give a big thank you to all the borough staff that assisted with this program. None of this would be possible without their help. Lenora was an immense help on all of this. Mary, Laura for posting stuff, Tina, Emil, Jackie, Roxanne, everyone was a part of this, and I want to thank everybody for that, because without them, this wouldn't have happened. So thank you. Otherwise, we did the Anchorage Office Telework Reimbursement Program. Due to the mandates, many of the Anchorage employees had been working home since March, so we were able to cover some of their costs for internet and cell phones to help offset some of those items. And that program, since the extension occurred, has been extended to March 31, 2021. KSDP support, we entered into a separate grant agreement for CARES Act funds with them. Originally, it was for $43,200, but as time went by, there were more needs, so we were able to cover AM transmitter to service Nelson Lagoon, the Cold Bay work, the Accutane work, which is still going to be done this spring, and also work in Sandpoint. So it's really improved the capability of them to reach out to all the communities in the region, which is fantastic, and met one of the requirements for the U.S. Treasury guidelines. So I'm happy to say that that was very successful, and it was a pleasure working with Austin on that project. Cold Bay Community Center conversion, we entered into agreement with the City of Cold Bay for the conversion of the community center into a support annex non-congregate shelter. We have currently reimbursed them about $288,000 out of the $400,000. I'm working on extending this grant agreement with the city now that we have more time to expend the money. But there's some photos in there. It looks really amazing. I think it'll be a great asset to the community. So when people get stuck, they need more room to social distance in the community, there's an option there to do so. So thank you to the city for all the work on that. And I think it's going to look absolutely beautiful, and I can't wait to see it in person. Otherwise, we have the air purification systems installed in the King Cove and Sandpoint schools. That was $82,000 worth of work, and that was Superior Mechanical made it in and out as scheduled. So that should help those schools. And then in Accutane and False Pass, We sent smaller air purification systems for those schools, and some of those are on site and some are still being ordered due to back orders from the company. But we hope that that will help circulate the air better in those communities and those schools. Also, there's the borough project postponement or revision funds. We allocated some monies aside for delays due to COVID-19. So, for instance, with HECO services for Nelson Lagoon, we actually canceled that project 2 weeks prior to it starting. There was costs that were incurred due to that delay, so we were able to allocate some of these monies to cover those items. We also had some stuff related to the Cold Bay Clinic, the Delta Creek work that was done, and electronic monitoring as well. Payroll, we had allocated $185,000 for that. I think I'm going to request that we put more into that for the future months coming up. But that paid for employees' time that was spent on COVID. And during the months of November and March, or December in particular, I think about probably 95% of my time was spent on CARES Act funds, like items. So it covered my salary as well as a few others in the borough. EAT, we've entered into agreement with them. I anticipate getting receipts here soon to pay them back for modifications to the Nelson Lagoon Clinic in response to the pandemic. So I hope to get that finalized here soon. And also with the Cold Bay Terminal, we have the benches were ordered yesterday, and they should be shipped out there soon via coastal, and then those will be placed outside to help with the social distancing. And then we'll see if there's anything else we can do with the funds. But that was an immediate thing we could do, so those should be on their way here shortly out to the communities. So with that, that was long. I'm sorry, but are there any questions?
Okay.
Okay.
There
are other things in here, but yeah, Meryl Speck, there's other things in here, but if you guys want to look at those and if you have any questions, let me know.
I have one quick question.
Go ahead, Paul. Go ahead.
Under your report of the King Cove Access Project, you keep referring again to the King Cove Work Group. Is there a paper that explains the relationship between the King Cove Group and the Lucian Eights Borough? And anything I can read that explains that?
No, there's not an official document. It's just the word rather than us writing the Lucian Eights Borough, the King Cove Corporation, the City of King Cove, and all the other entities that are involved in that group. So it's just kind of summarizing it all in one name. So I don't have an official document, but it's just to summarize all those groups that are involved in that project.
Well, it just continues to confuse me at all. And I'm kind of familiar with some of the process, but I think there should be something in writing that explains, and you keep referring to it all the time. I'm clear to me what it means. Thank you.
Okay. Other questions for Annie? Okay. Thank you, Annie. Mary?
Yeah, thanks, Mayor and Assembly. Happy New Year to everyone. I won't add too much to what Annie mentioned in her report, as I've pretty much been helping with most of the projects she's described through the last month. But I did want to let the Assembly know that I'm finishing up the request for proposals for the Cold Bay Terminal concessions this week, which I will send to Annie for review. I do apologize, it's taking me a little bit longer than I hoped, but I'm still moving forward. So my goal is to have the RFP posted later this month so we can get some concessions in the terminal, which is a much-needed thing. Annie also mentioned the benches. They did get those ordered, as she said. They are being shipped on coastal from Seattle, and they're supposed to arrive in Cold Bay the first week of February. So that actually concludes my report, unless there's any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Questions for Mary? Okay. Laura.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and members of the Assembly. been working on a variety of projects. I mailed out the AEB 2021 calendars in mid-December, so hopefully those arrived in your communities. If there are more requests and we need more, we can order more as needed. On December 31st, sent out a Fish News. That was a summary that had been done by Natural Resources Director Ernie Weiss about the end-of-the-year meeting with fishery management and enforcement agencies. That meeting occurred on December 16th. Another big project I've been working on is the discussion paper for the Marine Highway Narrative section of the Strategic Plan's Government and Policy section. This paper is going to be sort of a mini white paper regarding the need to keep the Alaska Marine Highway system intact and protect it from further cuts. It'll go along with an online petition for change.org, which will be a shorter version and contain a link to this discussion paper for those who are interested in getting in-depth information and background. The discussion papers will include information about what occurred over the last few years as well as service cuts. It'll also contain information from the Alaska Marine Highway System's reshaping work group report to the governor, and the recommendations from that group are contained, or will have some information in there. For those who haven't read it, there's some interesting points that are brought up in that report. Some of the takeaways include establishing a 9-member Alaska Marine Highway System Operations Board and Transition Team that focuses on resources. Also, forward funding 2 or more years of the Alaska Marine Highway System operation to improve planning and maintenance and vessel schedules. Concerning in that is a recommendation to reduce service to Southwest communities to 2 trips a year, spring and fall, eliminating service to some communities. Another point brings up soliciting commercial or other providers. It mentions local tribes or communities, for example, to provide service to certain communities. Those mentioned in the report include Wazinski, Port Lyons, Old Harbor, Seldovia, Tetlik, Chenega Bay, Pelican, Tanaki Springs, and other locations where dayboat ferry service is difficult for the Marine Highway to provide efficiently. So it's definitely an interesting read if you haven't had a chance to look at it. There's a link provided in this report. There's comments that are also included from Representative Louise Stutes, who sat on this 9-member reshaping committee. They can be found on page 30 and 31. As many people are aware, she's been a staunch reporter of funding the system and making sure that there's enough funding. Some of her comments include, quote, positively disagreeing with the recommendations to reduce service to Southwest communities to 2 times a year, stating that it would not be enough to sustain the communities. There's also an article that was published in mid-December from Alaska Public Media that basically states the governor is looking for guidance from the reshaping work group, and it discusses the governor's proposed budget that was released in mid-December, which allocates about $51 million for the Marine Highway System. That's historically less than what has been appropriated in the past. So that should, I'm going to provide another edit that will be provided for administration to look over, and we'll also have input from Mark Hickey as well as ML, SWAMC, the Southeast Conference, and so forth. So just wanted to give you a little update on that. Other than that, I'm continuing to work on drafting of the PCE white paper and updating to the website and Facebook as needed regarding various programs that Annie and Mary mentioned earlier funded by the CARES Act. So I'm always happy to help get the word out about various events in the community, so please feel free to contact me and let me know how I can help. And if you have any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Questions?
Hey, Laura, Chris here. Where was that link that you said on that paper on the Alaska Marine Ferry System?
I have that in my report, but I can email that to you if you would like.
Yeah, if you could, please. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Okay. Thank you, Laura. Ernie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Happy New Year to everybody. In response to Chris's question about the reshaping, if you Google Alaska Marine Highway reshaping, I think it'll take you straight to the report. I'm still on the Marine Transportation Advisory Board, although we have been very inactive. The chair had said that if they form this organizational board, then we would probably get together to meet and react and give them recommendations. So just a follow-up to Laura's report there. My report is in the packet. I started off putting together kind of a quick cheat sheet of some of the main fisheries that our fishermen participate in. The main thing I did with this is translate the metric tons to pounds for those federal fisheries. That's how they publish, and it makes it hard to understand, so that's what I've done. This doesn't include all the fisheries. There's also black rockfish opened January 1st. I've heard that jig fishermen in Sandpoint are having a hard time finding a market because there's no ice available. And I think Charlotte may mention something about the pollock opening when we get to her. I talk about the Board of Fish. Next week we'll hear a little bit from the Board of Fish and the Board of Game and the joint boards about what they're going to do moving forward in this time of COVID. The Board of Fish had previously said they don't want to meet until they can meet in person. Well, it's getting tougher and tougher, and this may go on for a while. But this is a Board of Fish starting year. We still have one meeting left that we'll be paying attention to from the past cycle, the statewide crab, and there's at least one proposal to look at the harvest strategy of Tanner crab for our area. So we'll have to pay attention to that. Cod, and that's in March, if the schedule stays the same. Proposals are due in April for our upcoming cycle. That would mean the scheduled meeting for cod in October and then our regular salmon meeting in February of 2022. So that's all coming up. The Natural Resource Department will be meeting with administration and the mayor next week to talk a little bit about strategy. And we've talked about where we want to support fishermen and especially the advisory committees, fish and game advisory committees moving forward. It's also a Board of Game year. There was supposed to be a meeting this month for our area. There's a lot of proposals on emperor geese and either moving, giving more access to non-residents or less access to non-residents. Also, there's a brown bear proposal and a couple of UNIMAC caribou herd proposals. The council meeting starts February 1st for the advisory panel and the SSC, and then the council follows on. There's not a lot to talk about on that agenda that's of interest to us, but we will be following that. Limited entry, we did submit comments on the proposed changes, and I attended the meeting, and they did approve all the changes, including the one to provide more opportunity for additional emergency transfers. So that was good. In the pre-filed legislative bills, there were none that would affect the limited entry permits. There were a couple of pre-files by Representative Stutz, House Bill 26 on Board of Fish and Board of Game participation, and then one on vessel registration. So next week there'll be another slate of pre-files, and we'll see if we get anything out of that. I am working on a couple of strategic plans tasks that I've listed there, and tomorrow is the last day for the seafood tariff relief program to get in an application. I think anybody who's was thinking about doing that probably already has, but tomorrow is the final day. They are working through that first CARES Act funding for fisheries participants, and we're hearing that the next round of CARES Act that has been approved will have more money for Alaska fisheries. So that's good news. And again, we'll be waiting for word from the lobbyists in D.C. on that. And I've listed meetings I've attended. I did want to, they're probably not online anymore, but express my appreciation for all the processors that attended our meeting today. They're one of our partners. So thank you, Mr. Mayor. I can answer any questions.
Thank you, Ernie. Questions for Ernie?
This is Carol. I have a question.
Go ahead, Carol.
Hey, Ernie, have you heard anything about the Pacific State Marine Fisheries Commission doing anything about the cod disaster thing? I see you list the CARES Act money thing, but have you heard anything on the cod disaster? I heard they were moving along, but nobody's heard anything in a long time.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard anything. Thanks for the question, Carol. I can look into it, and I can pass that along if I find out anything. There wasn't much moving very fast, so no, I don't. Somebody else may know. Sorry.
Yeah, okay, right, yeah. We haven't heard anything in a long time, and here we go again. It's almost 3 years again, and we're still having a disaster. So I was just wondering if they were moving along or not. Thank you.
Other questions? Okay, thank you for your report, Ernie. And just before we go on to Charlotte, I just wanted to say, last time I think I seen Charlotte was when she went to Jakarta or somewhere in March, and then the COVID hit. I'm just saying, anybody seen her since then, physically? I think she might be still over there. Anyway, Charlotte.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. I'm kind of like, Carmen Sandiego. You really just never know where I am. And I'm just going to keep it a secret. I'm just not going to tell you guys. So I will just start by following up on Ernie's report. He did put that great table in there of the different quotas, and I just wanted to give an update on two things. So the cod trawl is supposed to open on the 20th, but it does sound like it's going to be a very short sort of 24-hour opener. And I'm not sure how that's going to go. I think the guys are a little bit concerned that it's a little early for the cod. So, I mean, we'll see how that goes, but they might not find much. And for 610 federal pollock, so that is probably not going to happen. There was 800,000 metric tons allocated to that fishery, but then 300,000 of that has gone as allocated to cod for bycatch. So that leaves a very small amount that it doesn't sound like, even if folks wanted to put a catch share together, I don't think that's going to happen. So I think everybody's assuming at this point there will be no Western Gulf pollock fishery for the A season. So with that, I'll move on to electronic monitoring. So we did submit the final ESP revised application. We presented that to the North Pacific Council, and it was approved by NOAA's General Counsel. So now the ESP will extend through December 2022 and is expected to be under regulation by 2023. So we're getting there. We're chugging along. I did submit the interim programmatic report for NIFWIF. Just some highlights from the report. The project is currently either meeting or exceeding all target metrics. We've made improvements in all areas of the project despite having like some very serious setbacks through the pandemic. And of course, we had a successful revision and extension of the ESP application, which is kind of a heavy lift. I will be holding our regular preseason meeting tomorrow, the 15th at 2 p.m. to discuss any changes to the ESP program, as well as some issues, best practices. I'm in the process of finalizing my presentation, but Saltwater is actually working on a YouTube training for our new e-log and data portal use. So that's kind of a new, exciting way. We're trying to be creative about how we do education for the fleet that works for them so that, you know, everybody can get the training they need. I did put in here for the cod tagging project that we're still waiting for funds, but I'm really excited to announce that ASSC has approved the funding for our project. It'll be just shy of $300,000. And we are planning to go ahead with this project in mid-March. So I have sort of resumed everything from COVID planning to working with AFSE scientists on sampling design, and we're hoping to get that off the ground very soon. So I look forward to talking to you guys more about that. For mariculture, you all know the Assembly approved the DNR aquatic farm lease at the December meeting. So I am working with Annie. She's been extremely helpful to fulfill some of these additional insurance and bond requirements, which will finalize the lease after we submit it back to DNR, which also means I'm kind of resuming field work and getting ready to pick back up on mariculture this year. For the Net Gains Fisherman's Data Portal, this is also kicking off pretty quickly. We have now received direct access to e-landings with the plant processors that we needed. Most of our fleet will be delivering pollock to Kodiak. So we are working with Kodiak to actually get kiosks set up in their plants. Those kiosks will be used to download the logbook data, so the location, position, and depth of gear, which helps us update this portal. And so we'll be trialing it in A season with the hope that we can fully implement it in B season. And the fleet is currently learning how to use e-log, which we're rolling out tomorrow for A season, which is really exciting. It's doing away with paper, which, you know, messy and unorganized. I also submitted the quarterly report to Net Gains, and you can see some of the highlights below. And then just to wrap up my report, I sort of had a fun opportunity. I was invited to interview for a short film that Net Gains Alliance commissioned with Hemmings House on basically, they want to do a short film on how different people around the country are using data modernization in fishing fleets to improve the data that we collect and how we use it in regulatory and management purposes. So that may or may not lead to a full interview on camera. Sorry about that. My headphones just died. And I think that kind of wraps up my report. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Charlotte. Anybody have questions for her on her report? Okay. Emil.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members. Just been working, staying busy. Ordered circulating pumps for the False Pass School, getting those old ones out there replaced that are obsolete. And we're getting back here shortly so we can get those changed out. Waiting on bids coming back from contractors to go out there and redo the ones out there in Akatan School, get them replaced those. They just all have gone to their useful life and need to be replaced, and they don't make those ones anymore, so we need to get the new updated ones. And just keeping up on the minor maintenance projects in Sandpoint, there and coordinating with the other facilities and everything outside of the Sandpoint, and just staying up with them, making sure everything's going smoothly. Just trying to make a list now of our vehicle maintenance logs, our property maintenance, and buildings maintenance that are outside of the school district so that we can kind of keep up on that so we know what's coming up. To be able to start getting replaced and fixed or up on all of our borough-owned properties and vehicles and whatnot there. And keeping up with the contractors as they came in to Sandpoint, the superior group that came in with COVID protocols and everything worked with Annie with that, keeping it. They came in and installed those in King Cove Sandpoint. And portable ones out there, also King Colvin and Sandpoint offices. Fire inspections are complete for False Pass, King Cove, Sandpoint. There is no, in the reports, there was no corrections needed, and they passed for another year, and hopefully we're going to get on a schedule now, hopefully in July at fiscal year, new fiscal year, so that they come out when students aren't in school and be able to go through and assess those and get to fly around a little bit better in the summertime, have a little bit better time with that. Help with the food distribution boxes. We have some left over. Those are going to head up to the school for the school program. Donated for the rest of those. And that went really well. We had a line all the way out the harbor from distributing the boxes, and it actually went pretty well. So really happy about that. It came together and got that done with. And now just working, organizing with Annie, Mary, engineers on getting ready for the King Cove School maintenance for the summer coming up. Hopefully we get to do that. It was what we had to do. What we pushed off from last year because of this lovely COVID that we're in for this last year. And work with Mary about getting the benches out there to Cold Bay. And still ongoing processes. Hopefully get it taken care of on the new locks for that terminal over there in Cold Bay for TSA and get that completed. It's just been an ongoing fiasco there. But everything's going as good as it can, I guess. So if anybody has any questions, I'll be here to ask or answer.
Thank you, Emil. Questions for Emil? Okay. That's all the report. So, you know, it's the beginning of the 2021, so I just want to say I really appreciate the employees of the borough, the work that they've been able to accomplish, the added work that they've taken on because of COVID-19. Amazing amount of projects are in the works and have gotten completed. A couple of them got put off. Hopefully we'll get them done this summer. But the workload sure has shifted, and how things are getting done sure has changed. So we're going to keep plugging along, but I really do appreciate all the work that everybody's done. So with that, any assembly comments? Okay.
Mayor, this is Daly in Colby.
Go ahead, Daly.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank the borough, too, for all the work they've done for the COVID stuff that's going on, and with our gift cards today, thank you for all the work that they have done, all the gals and everybody in the office there. That's all I had to say. Thanks.
Thank you. If there's no other assembly comments, Laura, were there any, did any public comments come in?
None have come in. Thank you, Mayor Osterback.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we are down to next meeting date, if I could find my calendar. So, February 11th, is that that's the second Thursday, I believe?
Yes.
Okay. All right, if there's no other comments from anyone, I will look for a motion to adjourn. And thank you, everybody.
So moved.
I make a motion, Mr. Kirk.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Oh, thank you, everybody. Have a good evening.